This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How are global companies dealing with the crisis in Japan?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Japanese military helicopters are dumping seawater on the troubled nuclear plant to try and prevent a meltdown. And Tokyo is on alert for rolling blackouts this evening. We continue our coverage of the human and economic disaster in Japan now with a focus on how global companies are reacting. Stephen Badger is the director of Asia-Pacific operations for the international express shipping giant TNT. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How many staff do you have in Japan?
Just under 500.
And so far, everyone's safe and accounted for?
Yes, they are, which is very good. And that was critical.
Are you taking staff out of the country?
No, we're not. No, we have a 100% Japanese team. So there is, none of the Japanese team want to leave the country. They're there, they're committed, and they want to continue to develop the organization.
What are you planning for at this point going forward? A quick return to normal operations or a long disruption if this nuclear crisis gets worse?
Well, first things, because this happened on the Friday, we immediately said, after we realized everybody was safe, we tried to identify hotels for accommodation, identifying ways that we could support the team. That was number one. Secondly, we had to identify what shipments were critical, things like healthcare, things like the clinical trial shipments, which are extremely important. Were they able to be exported on that day? Etc. So all of these we identified and then over the weekend put contingency methods in to recover and put those to the closest local laboratories.
Have you ever dealt with any kind of crisis like this?
Not to the same extent, no. We've dealt with other crises as things came up. We had close to us here the Indonesia tsunami, very similar. So yes, we are quite experienced in this area, and when our business continuity plans in place, we bring those out. We might have to adjust, but they're in place.
Stephen Badger, Operations Director for TNT Express Asia Pacific, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.
To the U.S. banking system now and the money we taxpayers loaned the banks so they could stay afloat during the financial crisis. All told, the Treasury Department sent $245 billion to banks and as of yesterday has been paid back $244 billion. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
With repayments from a handful of big banks like Fifth Third Bancorp, the Treasury has now recouped 99% of the capital it injected into the U.S. banking system through TARP.
I see TARP as a failure, even though we've gotten all our money back in nominal terms.
Chris Whalen at Institutional Risk Analytics says in order to pay back TARP, banks raised money in the capital markets and juiced their balance sheets.
What I would have preferred was to see the government give them the money and have them charge it off in terms of getting rid of bad assets, because the poor economic performance that we're seeing, the high unemployment, is in part due to the fact that the banks have not restructured. They have just muddled along, especially the biggest banks.
There's also still hundreds of billions in taxpayer money outstanding that hasn't been paid back yet by the likes of non-banks, including AIG, GM, Chrysler, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac. Some of that may never be recouped. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Tokyo shares about 1.5% lower today. In Europe, stocks are up slightly. And here in the U.S., we're expected to hear today from Beverage Digest that for the first time, Diet Coke replaced Pepsi last year as the second most popular soft drink. No sugar on Wall Street, though, yesterday. The Dow tumbled 242 to close at 11,613.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters. committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. For the latest business news, go to Marketplace.org and click on the Newsletters tab to get business and economic news delivered to you daily, right now to your inbox.
Oil prices are back on the rise today, around $99 a barrel in Asia trading. They had been dropping because of concerns about the situation in Japan, though gas prices seemed to stay the same. Here in L.A., they're around $4 a gallon, although there do seem to be some stations with gas that is suspiciously cheap. Here to fill us up with facts is L.A. Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what gives with the gas that's slightly cheaper than the rest of the stations?
Oftentimes, gas tends to be a little more expensive when you drive around town, especially if you're nearer to a freeway or a commercial center,
right.
And that's called pricing to market. But the cheap stuff, typically, like ARCO, for example, how does ARCO get away with offering such cheap gas? I've been talking to a number of mechanics and energy experts about this, and on the one hand, they say, well, you've got your branded gas and your more generic gas,
right.
And the branded gas tends to have additives in it, and that might boost the price, but then that raises the question, are the additives any good? And the mechanics are mixed on that.
So if I go to a station at like Walmart or Costco, that's the non-branded gas. Is that bad for my engine?
I wish I knew. I put that to a lot of mechanics, and most of them said gas is gas. And I think that's the major takeaway of this. On the other hand, they did say, yes, there are differences. For example, you go to Chevron, it's got Tecron in
right.
it. Is Tecron any good? Well, some mechanics told me, yes, it will actually help clean your engine. Others said, not so much. Maybe the generic stuff comes from the bottom of the barrel. I don't know.
So we've got pricing to market. We've got additives. Are those the only things that make the gas so different in different places?
No, I think the key thing we're looking at here is the business model. For example, ARCO. ARCO is almost always cheaper than other places around. How do they do that? They keep their gas prices low by just simply not taking credit cards, not having to pay the interchange fees that go along with that, and therefore passing those savings on to their customers. It's a model that works.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, are you sick of all the companies telling you to follow them on Twitter and Facebook? Well, the event registration website Eventbrite has come out with actual numbers about the profitability of social networking. The site says, on average, a tweet about an event brought in about 80 cents in ticket sales during the past 6 months, and the average like on Facebook brought in $1.34. Liking APM Marketplace on Facebook, by the way, is priceless. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Memo to those with the oil. You know, for a peaceful and lasting Middle East, experts say everybody needs to share the wealth.
Saudi Arabia cannot sit on sovereign fund with $200 billion while people starving in Jordan or starving in Yemen.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Democracy doesn't come cheap. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.